Let's continue. In the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the knower of the body, the living entity, and the position by which he can understand the Supreme Lord are described. In the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the relationship between the individual soul and the super soul in regard to devotional service are described. The superior position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the subordinate position of the individual soul are definitely defined in these chapters. The living entities are subordinate under all circumstances. Would that include the spiritual world? No? He just got finished saying all circumstances. So the answer is yes, even in the spiritual world. But in their forgetfulness, they are suffering. So that's the root cause of all our suffering. We forget Krishna. When enlightened by pious activities, they approach the Supreme Lord in different capacities. As the distressed, those in want of money, the inquisitive, and those in search of knowledge. That is also described now, starting with the 13th chapter, how the living entity comes into contact with material nature, and how he is delivered by the Supreme Lord through the different methods of fruitive activities, cultivation of knowledge, and the discharge of devotional service are explained. Although the living entity is completely different from the material body, he somehow becomes related. This is also explained. Let's continue. In this chapter, it will also be explained that out of the two knowers, one is fallible and the other is infallible. Who's fallible? We are, the jiva. Who is infallible? Yes, well, in the 13th chapter, the whole discussion is super soul. The whole chapter is about Paramatma, super soul. One is superior and the other is subordinate. Who's superior? Super soul. Who is subordinate? Jiva soul. One who understands the two knowers of the field to be one and the same contradicts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which philosophy preaches that the two knowers of the field are the same? Mayavadis. Who is their founder, Acharya? Shankaracharya. Thank you. Shankaracharya is actually who? Shankara, Lord Shiva. Excellent. Who told him to preach Mayavad philosophy? Krishna. Yes. We find that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was Krishna's instruction to Lord Shiva. I want you to do this. Why? Because when Buddha came, Buddha said, don't follow the Vedas. Now, the reason Buddha did that was because in the beginning of Kali Yuga, the Brahmanas were cheating and telling the people, it's okay to eat meat. So everybody was killing animals wantonly and thinking, oh, it's sanctioned by the Vedas because the Brahmins were preaching bogus because it's Kali Yuga. So, Nindasi Yagya Vidher Ahasruti Jatam Sadaya Ridaya Darshita Pashugatam. Buddha came simply to stop the killing of the animals. That was his focus. These people are so fallen. I just got to stop this needless killing. But the problem was the Brahmins were saying this is sanctioned by the Vedas. So Buddha had no choice. Don't follow Vedas. Follow me. But who's Buddha? He's God. So, it's called tricky. Don't follow Vedas. Now, from Bhagavad Gita, where do the Vedas come from? Krishna. But Krishna is saying, don't follow the Vedas. Follow me. Huh? Yes, it's a conundrum wrapped inside of an enigma. This is how tricky Krishna is. What? Now that's what the Brahmins were preaching. Bogus. They were misconstruing. Just like right now, all the religions are taking their text and interpreting it to suit the needs of the people. Like the Muslims. They are taking the Quran and telling people, you should commit the suicide bomb and you will go to heaven. They're misconstruing. It happens in every religion. As soon as you start to change, that's why I emphasize Prabhupada's books. And what did Prabhupada say? Don't mess with my books. Don't change my books. So you stay and you repeat. That's why I simply try to repeat Prabhupada's books. That's what I try to do. Yes? Yes. But he said, don't follow the Vedas. This is how Prabhupada presents it. I'm presenting to you the way Prabhupada. Don't follow Vedas. Follow me. That's okay. What?
What you said, what the Nanda Prabhu said, the Brahmins were misrepresented. There is a clause in the Vedas, in the certain circumstances, you can do the animal kill. So they are misrepresenting that circumstance, and in every way they're saying you can do the killing without any consideration of the rules and regulations that the Veda describes it.
This is explained by Lord Chaitanya to Chand Kazi. Yes, there was cow sacrifice, there was horse sacrifice, but that horse or cow either came back in a new body or a human body right there at the sacrifice. You see that going on anywhere? What happens at a sacrifice? No, I mean, like when you do a yajna, what happens? It becomes charcoal. Lord Chaitanya said the Brahmins are not powerful. The Brahmanas themselves don't have that potency to rejuvenate a cow or a bull. So they were placating and people were now indulging indiscriminately in meat eating and there was needless slaughter. So the only thing Buddha could do, because they were using the pretext of the Vedas. So that's why Buddha said, don't follow Vedas. That's why Lord Buddha is called Gnostic, atheist. But he's God. Now, Buddha was patronized by Emperor Ashoka. Therefore, Buddhism spread all over India. So now, because the original question was, as we got off to so many tangents, but I remember the original question, why did Krishna tell Lord Shiva to preach this Mayavad philosophy? So since Buddha said, don't follow the Vedas, the next step has to re-mean, now we have to reestablish the authority of the Vedas. So again, there has to be a trick. So Shankaracharya, by his preaching of Mayavad philosophy, at least reestablished the authority of the Vedas. But to do that, he also had to misrepresent the Vedas by teaching his impersonal Mayavad philosophy, which taught, I am God, but I forgot that I was God. When I get out of Maya, I'll realize that I am God. But it's not over yet. Now we're not done. Okay, at least the Vedas now are reestablished as the authority. Buddhism was driven out of India. Shankara's philosophy now prevails all over India. But we can't stop there because Shankara's philosophy is also nonsensical. So now who comes next? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who preaches the correct conclusion, which is devotional service, that God is the supreme, the living entity is eternal servant, and the goal of life is to develop love of God. So this is the whole agenda, the way Prabhupada presents it in his books. Okay? He clearly says, don't, you want me to find it for you in the Veda base? Listen, hello, there are certain prescriptions in, I had explained, the animal sacrifice was, an old cow was sacrificed, and at the sacrifice, either the old cow got a new cow body right there, or he became a human being right there. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? That kind of Brahman doesn't exist anymore. Previously, in previous ages, that was possible. Okay? So, taking some obscure things from the Vedas, they misinterpreted it, made it into a big business. Brahmins like to do that, don't they? All the temples now, what happens? In India, what happens when you go to all the temples? You guys were all telling me. What's going on? How much money you got? Give more. Okay?
Vena.
He was when after the Brahman's kill, Brahman is by mantra.
Oh, by mantra. Gee, I wish I had that power.
His thigh was rough, right?
Huh?
I think his thigh was rough.
Yes. No, first came the, what's it called? Yes. What? Bahuka. Bahuka. Yeah, go ahead.
So the Brahmanas were so powerful.
Correct.
That's what he said.
Yeah. No.
The Brahmanas were so powerful. Now he's very
Yes, it's Kali Yuga. Everything is reduced.
Everything's
impure. That's why. Yes. We could spend a whole class on the symptoms of Kali Yuga. 12th canto is all explained. Everything is bad. That's why Krishna told Uddhava, once Kali Yuga comes, don't stay. Krishna told Uddhava, you don't want to stick around for Kali Yuga. It's bad. Yes? That's not Krishna. Shukadev. That's the only good thing about Kali Yuga. Yeah, that's the only thing we got going for us. Yes. Kirtanad Eva Krishnas. Who's Kirtan?
Krishna.
Ah, you know you've heard me say that many times. Who's Kirtan?
Krishna.
Ah, that's important. Krishna's Kirtan, not somebody else's. You had a question, Krishna Kumar? What's the matter? What? Who doesn't like the class? All right. Thank you. And Mahatma, I want you to do the kirtan for the arti. That's an order. Jai. Okay? Jai. Let's continue. All right. One who understands the two knowers of the field to be one and the same contradicts the Supreme Personality of God, who states here, I am also the knower of the field of activity. One who misunderstands a rope to be a serpent is not in knowledge. There are different kinds of bodies and there are different kinds of owners of the bodies. Because each individual soul has his individual capacity for lording it over material nature. There are different bodies, but the Supreme Lord is also present in them as the controller. The word cha is significant, for it indicates the total number of bodies. That is the opinion of Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Now, Prabhupada several times already mentioned Baladeva Vidyabhushan. If you notice in the beginning, Prabhupada dedicates his Gita to Baladeva Vidyabhushan. And the reason, well, one reason is the Vaishnavas, or the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, did not have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Why? All the other Vaishnava Acharyas had a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, but not the followers of Lord Chaitanya, and there was a reason why. Yes! They accepted Srimad Bhagavatam as the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. They have said, there's no need, we have Bhagavatam. But then, during the time of Baladeva Vidyabhushan, there was all this ruckus. And they were saying, you Gaudiya people are not bona fide because you don't have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan did what is called Govinda Bhashya. He wrote a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Why is it called Govinda Bhashya? He said, I'll do it, but Krishna has to actually tell me what to write. Therefore, it's called Govinda Bhashya. I've tried to read it. It's way, way, way over my head. But that much we know. It's called Govinda Bhashya because he wrote exactly what Krishna told him to write. Okay? Krishna is the super soul present in each and every body apart from the individual soul. And Krishna explicitly says here that real knowledge is to know that the super soul is the controller of both the field of activities and the finite enjoyer. What is the field of activities? Huh?
Body.
The body. And who is the finite enjoyer? No, Krishna soul, is the soul. Finite?
No, soul, soul.
Soul. Who is the infinite enjoyer?
Krishna.
Ah, very
super
good.
Soul.
Yes, super soul. Thank you. We shall do one more. The Lord has explained the field of activities and the knower of the field. And he has also explained the process of knowing the knower of the field of activities. Now he begins to explain the knowable, first the soul and the super soul. By knowledge of the knower, both the soul and the super soul, one can relish the nectar of life. As explained in the second chapter, the living entity is eternal. Where does that discussion begin? I mentioned it before. Chapter 2, starting with verse, ending with verse. Thank you. You make me very proud, students. You learned quickly. Thank you. This is also confirmed here. There is no specific date at which the jiva was born, nor can anyone trace out the history of the jivatma's manifestation from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it is beginningless. Did we not discuss that about a half an hour ago? Yes, we did. The Vedic literature confirms this. Najayate mriyate ba vipaschit. Very similar line in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The knower of the body is never born and never dies, and he is full of knowledge. So I have a question. If the jiva is full of knowledge, what's the problem I have now? I'm supposed to be full of knowledge. What happened? Yes. And also, I forgot. I became covered over. Yes. The Lord has described in summary the body, knowledge, and the knowable. This knowledge is of three things: the knower, the knowable, and the process of knowing. Combined, these are called vijnana, or the science of knowledge. Perfect knowledge can be understood by the unalloyed devotees of the Lord directly. Others are unable to understand. The monists say that at the ultimate stage, these three items become one, but the devotees do not accept this. Knowledge and development of knowledge mean understanding oneself in Krishna consciousness. We are being led by material consciousness. But as soon as we transfer all consciousness to Krishna's activities and realize that Krishna is everything, then we attain real knowledge. In other words, knowledge is nothing but the preliminary stage of understanding devotional service perfectly. In the 15th chapter, this will be very clearly explained. Now to summarize, one may understand that verses 6 and 7, beginning from Mahabhutani and continuing through Chaitanya Dhriti, analyze the material elements and certain manifestations of life. These combine to form the body or the field of activities. And verses 8 through 12, from Amanitvam through Tattva Gyanartha Darshanam, describe the process of knowledge for understanding both types of knower of the field of activities, namely the soul and the super soul. So, Nimai Charan, take the microphone. Can you give him your Bhagavad Gita? And read chapter 13, verses 8 through 12. I want to hear the process of knowledge, and I would like you to use the microphone so that it's recorded. Is that all right, Nimai Charan Maharaj? Okay, I just want the translation. 13.8. Okay. Thank you. This is an important... Yes, nice in the microphone.
Humility...
What's the first one?
Humility.
First item of knowledge. Humility. Go on.
Pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance.
Quite a commentary on our modern day college education. Therefore, this coming to these programs, this is your real postgraduate study of life. You are getting the highest knowledge. Therefore, make sure you come to every Kundan Loka program.
Please.
Yes. All right, let's continue now. You're my assistant now. Oh, you got to go back and do that? Okay. Give it back to... Give him the book also. He needs the book. Okay. Then verses 13 through 18, beginning from Anadi Matparam and continuing through Hridi Sarvasya Vishtatam, describe the soul and the Supreme Lord or Super Soul. Thus, three items have been described: the field of activity, the body, the process of understanding, and both the soul and the Super Soul. It is especially described here that only the unalloyed devotees of the Lord can understand these three items clearly. So for these devotees, Bhagavad Gita is fully useful. It is they who can attain the supreme goal, the nature of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. In other words, only devotees and not others can understand Bhagavad Gita and derive the desired result. How many here are devotees? You should consider yourself a devotee. Yes. It's not puffed up to say, I am a devotee of Krishna. It's okay. By knowledge given in this chapter, one can understand the body, the field of activities, and the knowers of the body, both the individual soul and the super soul. The body is the field of activity and is composed of material nature. The individual soul is embodied, and enjoying the activities of the body is the Purusha or the living entity. He is one knower, and the other is the super soul. Of course, it is to be understood that both the super soul and the individual entity are different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entity is in the category of his energy, and the super soul is in the category of his personal expansion. So, in the Krishna book, Prabhupada says, Swangsha Vibhinangsha. Swa-ansha. All of Krishna's Vishnu Narayan manifestations are his personal expansions. The living entities Vibhina-ansha are separated expansions. We'll do one more. The purport of this 13th chapter is that one should know the distinction between the body, the owner of the body, and the super soul. One should recognize the process of liberation as described in verses 8 through 12, which we just read. Then one can go on to that supreme destination. A faithful person should at first have some good association to hear of God and thus gradually become enlightened. If one accepts a spiritual master, one can learn to distinguish between matter and spirit, and that becomes the stepping stone for further spiritual realization. A spiritual master, by various instructions, teaches his students to get free from the material concept of life. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna instructing Arjuna to free him from materialistic considerations. One can understand that this body is matter. It can be analyzed with its 24 elements. The body is the gross manifestation, and the subtle manifestation is the mind and psychological effects. And the symptoms of life are the interactions of these features. But over and above this, there is the soul, and there is also the super soul. The soul and the super soul are two. This material world is working by the conjunction of the soul and the 24 material elements. One who can see the constitution of the whole material manifestation as this combination of the soul and material elements, and who can also see the situation of the Supreme Soul, becomes eligible for transfer to the spiritual world. These things are meant for contemplation and for realization. And one should have a complete understanding of this chapter with the help of the spiritual master. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra, please.